to be among you. Of course, told you this morning that we, Lord willing, would finish up the sermon from this morning talking about Bible early risers. I don't know if you were able to give some thought to the things we talked about over the afternoon. I hope that you did, and maybe you thought about some other individuals that are mentioned in the Bible. The one I want to start with tonight is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we read about King Hezekiah, right? Began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 29:1. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. In verse 3, the Bible says, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, hear ye me, ye Levites, or hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. I've underscored that thought in my Bible. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. In verse 11, my sons, be not now negligent. Levites arose and did the things that they were commanded to do. You read about that on down through verse 19. In verse 20, then Hezekiah the king rose when? Early, and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So he instructed them to carry out the filthiness out of the house of the Lord, to not be negligent, to sanctify, to cleanse. And when they completed that, they made offerings. And he rose early to do that once the temple was cleansed. So I think about Hezekiah as we think about Bible early risers. And I ask a question. If we knew that there were things amiss in the house of God, and we've talked about several times what the house of the Lord is, this side the cross, how that it is a people of God, right? 1 Timothy 3:15. The church. If there are things amiss, would we rise early to give instruction and to do that which God would have us to be doing? Would we give instruction to get rid of the filthiness from the house of the Lord and do that which is right and pleasing in His sight? I think about when Paul wrote to those at Corinth, and we know that they were a troubled congregation, that they had division, carnality, fornication, abuse of the Lord's Supper, a denial of the bodily resurrection. And Paul reprimanded them concerning those things. And he would make this statement, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Cast forth therefore the leaven, or purge out the leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Get rid of the sin. I wonder if we would have risen early to have done that, like all these that we've talked about this morning and on in tonight. Would we? But as we think about those that rose up for particular reasons, I think about King Darius. You know what book Darius is mentioned in? The book of Daniel is the one that comes to my mind. Maybe elsewhere. But Daniel chapter 6. Children of Israel are in captivity. You remember about Daniel and his comrades and others? It pleased Darius, Daniel 6:1, to set over the kingdom 120 princes which shall be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents. Some of your versions don't use the word president. They may use officer or some other similar word. Of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set over the whole to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find occasion or fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know how that these men conspired against Daniel, right? We know that we're not going to be able to find an occasion against Daniel except it be concerning him and his God. And so they got the king to sign and put into law this writing or this decree that the king only, right, could make a petition of God for 30 days. No one else could. But Daniel, as his manner was, continued to make petition to God. He continued to pray, verse 10 tells us. That Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. It always amazed me. It impressed me concerning Daniel. The Bible says when he knew that the writing was signed. Continue looking what the Bible says. He went into his house, his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. He threw up his arms and said, I give up. Is that what your Bible says? You know better. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day, not once, not twice, but three times a day, even when he knew that the writing was signed, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, these men came to Daniel, or to the king, and, O king, there's someone who has violated your decree. In verse 14, the Bible says, when the king heard this, he was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But Daniel was cast into the den of lions, verse 16. The king said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king wasn't able to sleep that night. Verse 18 says that his sleep departed from him. Then watch verse 19 for our second point tonight. For our eighth example in this two-part lesson. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting, verse 18 again, neither was instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. How'd you like to have seen King Darius' face when Daniel responded back? So I ask you the question tonight, when's the last time that we rose early in the morning, very early in the morning, in regard for someone else? When we had enough concern about someone else to get ourselves out of the nice comfort, cozy bed, to check on someone, to call someone, or to visit someone, or whatever the case may be. Serves as a good example for us. Here was a man who was a Gentile king, but he was sore displeased with himself because of it. And you know how the event turns out. Someone else ended up in the lion's den, right? But he was sore displeased with himself, and very early in the morning he got up and he went to check on Daniel. And so that impresses me about him. So we've had seven examples this morning and two tonight from the Old Testament. The rest of the time I want to spend our time in the New Testament. And the first one that I want us to think about in the New Testament comes from the book of Mark, chapter 16. The Lord had been slain, executed, crucified. Someone has once said that the Romans did not invent execution by crucifixion, but the Romans perfected execution by crucifixion. Can't think about, can't even fathom what Jesus went through. And not only can I not fathom what He went through, other than what the text says that He went through. But the fact of the matter is that He did no wrong. All of us have done wrong. For all have sinned. Paul would talk about in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and 5 and 6. But Jesus did no wrong. Hebrews chapter 4. And so He was laid in a tomb. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. Now watch verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And He saith unto them, be not affrighted, or be not afraid, be not fearful. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, He is risen, He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He said unto you. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said them or they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Could you imagine being some of the company that was with Jesus on several occasions? Here were these women that had ministered unto Him along the way. They had listened to a lot of the teaching that He had presented. I think about the apostles who were with Him from the beginning of the baptism of John, all the time that He was in and out among them and so forth. Acts chapter 1 talks about. Convinced that who He claimed to be is who He really was. Are we convinced of that today? Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre. They had bought spices. They had made provision for doing that. They esteemed this occasion as something special to them. Something that they could do. So I ask you tonight, had you been these women, would you have gotten up very early in the morning, taken your resources, spent them to do something that was not for self, but for someone else? We bury the dead today. We go to the cemetery, and often one of the things I say is that we've gone as far as we can go with them. We're going to commit the earthly tabernacle back to the dust from whence it was taken, but their spirit is in the presence of God. Gone back to God. To await the judgment. So had you been these women, what would you have done? We're done with the Lord. They wasn't done with Him. Even in His death, they were not done with Him. Joseph of Arimathea wasn't. These women wasn't. God wasn't. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I think about that example for us. Come with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Jesus was a man who was busy about teaching, right? Of all that the Lord began both to do and to teach. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In Luke chapter 21, Notice what the Bible says in verse 38. And all the people, let's back up to verse 37. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple. And at night he went out in a boat in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And watch verse 38. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Someone says, well, you don't know what time Jesus came to the temple. Well, that verse doesn't tell us what time Jesus came to the temple. But it tells us that the people who came to hear Jesus came very early in the morning to the temple to listen to him. So I ask you and I ask me, when is the last time that we got ourselves up early in the morning because we were interested in hearing the truth? Some of the Old Testament had the disposition, it's too much for us. Remember that question, is it too much for you? I don't go to the AM service because that's just too early for me to get out of bed. Really? Really? The people came early because they were interested in what was going to be spoken. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, as we talked about in the Bible class this morning, the Word of God is living, right? Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Someone said it cuts both ways. To the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word will do more for us and for everyone else than any other book ever been written. Or any book that ever will be written. You agree with that? No other book can do what this book can do. They came early to hear. James chapter 1 verse 22, among other things. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity or overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I like to write from time to time. Many of you do. Many of you men that contribute to the bulletin, very good. Put them pen to paper and write in concise articles like you do. But anything that I write could not save an individual. Nothing I could come up with. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it lieth not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. But the Word of God can save if we'll obey it. So is it too early? You know, I know some places they come together before 10 o'clock. Some places pretty early. 9 o'clock for Bible class. Would that be too early? Think about that. But our next example I want to take from Acts chapter 5. The Church of Christ had been established. People were being added to it. Then people began to persecute God's people. The apostles were threatened. Acts chapter 3, they went to the temple, and you know the events that took place. They healed a man. Chapter 4, as the apostles were speaking and to the people, the priests, certain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. They were grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I think it's interesting in that verse that it doesn't only say that they were grieved that they were teaching the people about the resurrection or teaching people the resurrection from the dead, because, of course, Sadducees didn't believe that. But they were grieved that they taught the people. And they threatened them. Don't do this. They couldn't deny the miracle, verse 16 says. But verse 17, that it spread no further, let us straightly charge them. that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. That is, by the authority of Jesus, or speaking the teaching that they were, the doctrine of Christ. Through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. What has threatened them about that? Well, they didn't throw their hands up and quit. They weren't quitters because they continued to teach. They were cast into prison, Acts chapter 5. Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, earlier when they were cast into prison, notice verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. We can't do that. Now, we've already been threatened. Our lives are at stake. Now, we can do a lot of things, but we can't go do that. Is that what they said? What's the next verse? Watch what they did. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple. What's that next word? Early in the morning and taught. They would later be beaten. That impress you? That motivate you to be zealous of what God would have you to be doing? It does me. It does me. Then you know verses 40 and 41 and then 42. They were beaten, yet they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Worthy. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Now watch verse 42. Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Would we have risen early? Though we knew that our lives were in danger, would we have continued to do it? See, it's pretty easy to stand before someone when you realize that your life's not in danger. Right? Probably at most might get run out of town, but that's not even close to what they went through. Right? There's places I've been told, even on the planet today, where people have to hazard their life to follow the Lord. Would we do that? I don't know. The apostles did. And they serve as a good example for us. One more that I want you to think about. This comes from Mark, the first chapter. All of these serve as good examples of people who are interested enough to do these things that they did. Let's begin with verse 34. He, Jesus, healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. Now listen to verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they had found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for Thee. And He said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. A great while before it was day, what did Jesus do? He got up, went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Jesus was a praying man. We see that in a host of passages in this text, Luke 22:39. 46. John 17 is an entire prayer that the Lord prayed before He was arrested and crucified. When's the last time that we awoke very early in the morning and lifted up our petitions to God? Remember that hymn we sing sometimes, ere you left your room this morning? Did you think to pray? Did we? Come tomorrow morning if we're blessed to see the beginning, the start of it, a new day. Will we do that? Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Or 5:17, rather. Let your request by prayer be made known unto God. Philippians 4 and in verse 6. And so, very early in the morning, the Lord was busy about doing that. In Luke chapter 21, and we'll end with this. We just read about the people coming early in the temple to listen to the Lord. Can't help but to wonder and ask the question, did they come early in the morning to the temple to listen to the Word of God because they knew that's where the Lord would be? No, they knew where to go. They went there to listen to the teaching of the Lord. Maybe you hear this and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. In a literal sense, this other rising was literal too. Jesus rose from the dead early in the morning on the first day of the week. Well, you don't know if it was early in the morning, someone said. If it wasn't early in the morning, it's a funny thing to me that the women came early in the morning because they knew the Lord was laid in the tomb. But when they got there early in the morning, the Lord wasn't there. So that tells us the Lord rose early in the morning. So that you could have the forgiveness of your sins, right? So that I could have the forgiveness of my sins. To be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, Romans 6. Where His blood that was shed on the cross will wash away every sin we've ever committed, Revelation 1:5. You've heard the gospel over and over and over. Do you believe it? Will you repent of your sins? Confess your faith in Christ before those present tonight that He is the Son of God. And be baptized. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. Went back out into the world of sin. You want to come home. You want to be restored. You can do that through repenting of those sins, making confession of those things. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now. Yeah.